Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Galatians chapter number 6, I want to read some very, very familiar scripture to you tonight, and I don't want us to allow the scripture being familiar to us to automatically turn it off. You know, sometimes I'll never forget, we had that little meeting break out back first of the year, and Brother Ryan came and preached in it. You remember that night he preached on John 3:16, and man, he started reading it, and I thought, well, I've heard this before. Come on, somebody give me a witness. But man, 10 minutes into it, I'd never heard it preached that way, amen? And so I want to give you nothing deep, nothing profound, just some practical things tonight on sowing the Word of God. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word tonight, and we'll see what God will give us. Galatians chapter number 6, I want to pick up reading in verse number 7. The Bible said this, "Be not deceived, that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That is a promise from God. I'm not going to preach primarily on that verse, but that is a promise from God. Look with me in verse number 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Father, I love you tonight, and I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd use us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach through us for just a little while tonight. And God, I pray that your will and way would be done. God, I pray that we would get understanding from your word tonight. I pray, God, that it just wouldn't be words uttered out of my mouth tonight, but I pray that he, the Holy Spirit, would help us and lead us and guide us tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to preach out of this for a little while tonight, simply on sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping tonight. I've been reading a book, and I made reference to this on Wednesday night by Dr. Tom Rainer, and it's a book that is entitled Simple Church. And in that, his desire was to find two groups of church. The second group was fairly easy to locate, as it was a comparison or a non-growing church. This was the church that had not grown by 5% per year. The first group that they saw was the vibrant, growing churches, which were growing at least 5% a year. In fact, out of over 40,000 Southern Baptist churches, they discovered less than 2% meet the criteria for a vibrant and growing church. Less than 2% of 40,000 Southern Baptist churches met the guidelines for growing and being entitled as a growing church. Can I just say something to you tonight? How sad that it would be if we was not a growing church. I'm interested in our church being a growing church, amen. I'm not interested in sitting still. Somebody give me a witness tonight. I'm not interested in becoming stagnant. I'm not interested in being comfortable where we're at, man. I'm interested in God growing amazing Grace Baptist Church. Now, hear me and hear me well. We cannot and we will not grow it without Him. You say, well, preacher, what about this movement and that movement and that movement? Can I just say something to you? Everything will draw a crowd for a little while. Matter of fact, you know what usually happens with something that's dead? It usually swells and then it erupts and then it's nothing. And that's what is happening so many times with other so-called churches. But I'm interested in God flourishing our church. I'm interested in God doing something in our church. You say, well, preacher, here we sit tonight. We're in a beautiful building. We're having visitors come in. Boy, thank God for every bit of that. But I don't want to get complacent where we're at. Man, I'm interested in God growing the church. Amen. But I'll say this, that's just rain. It's not going to get on you in here, okay? Everybody listen to the preacher. Now think about this. There's God's place in growing the church, but there's our place in growing the church. You see, God will do His part, but it's up to us to do our part. Can I say that again? If y'all will help me preach, you'll get to go to youth choir practice before 9 o'clock. I know that God will do His part. There's no doubt about that. God will do what He said He'd do. Now unto Him that is able. Able to do what? Anything that He wants to do. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. However, there is our place in doing it. Here just a few weeks ago, we had some more grading done back here. And thank God we did, because if we hadn't, of everything be washed out right now, it might be washed out anyway. Brother Mark, you may have to come back tomorrow and fix it all again. But anyway, had some grading done. And there was just, I guess you could say it this way, there was just raw dirt that was there. And you know what we decided? We decided that we needed to try to get some grass to come up on that dirt. You know what? We just didn't stand there and all of a sudden grass start growing. You know what had to be done? There had to be some work done. The ground had to be tore up. Somebody say amen. The seed had to be sown. The straw had to be put over it. The rain had to come. Hear me and hear me well. We could not control the rain, but we could control everything prior to that. We could control breaking up the fallow ground. We could control throwing out the seed. We could control throwing out the fertilizer and putting the straw over it. And then we waited on God to send the rain. Hear me and hear me well. May God help us in this day to break up the fallow ground, to realize their souls weighing in the balance, man. There's people dying and going to devil's hell. And may God help us to sow the seed. I was thinking about this. Just a few minutes ago, Miss Christie back there was talking to me. And here's what she said. She said, preacher, I'm praying for you. And I said, I sure need it. And she said, well, I'm praying that God would help you. I know that you've been burdened for people to be saved. And I know we're praying for that. And she said, you keep preaching. And she said, you remember those preachers that's out of our church as they stand and preach and as souls are saved there. She was saying it's fruit abounding to our account. Hear me and hear me well. I want to see souls saved. So we must do what we're called to do. Now, I can't make grass grow, but I can sow the seed. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? I can't save souls, but you know what I can do? I can take this blessed old book right here. I can read myself full of it. I can get in the prayer closet and pray myself hot. I can get in the pulpit and let myself go. And everything else is up to God. But he did say this, those that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. God will give the increase. Sow in the seed. Well, let me show you our text tonight, okay? I want you to see three things. And can I ask you just a question tonight? Have you sown any seed this week? Boy, got real quiet right there. Have you sown any seed this week? Have you broadcasted any seed this week? You say, well, nah, preacher, can I ask you a question? Have you prayed any this week for God to save people at the church house? If we've not prayed, if we've not sown seed, then how in the world can we expect God to do it? You say, well, he's God. I understand he's God. But there is a part that's on us, church. There is a part that is on us that we must do. There's three things that I want us to see in our text tonight, and then we'll go. Number one, Brother Ben, I'm going to throw you a curveball in about 5 minutes. I'm going to switch to a handheld, and I just want to see the difference in it, okay? And y'all say, preacher, that's crazy. I know it's crazy, but just work with me tonight, okay? We're trying to figure out what works best, okay? Number one, in sowing the seed, be careful. Be careful. Can I just say this? We didn't go down there. Hear me right now. We didn't go down there and broadcast, or I don't think they did. Brother Remington, if y'all did, you're going to be fired in the morning. We didn't go down there and broadcast clover. Are you hearing me? We didn't go down there and broadcast weeds, and we didn't go down there and broadcast that. Why? Because that's not what the product was we was looking for. You see, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I need to get there to come back to here. What you put in the ground is what's going to come up. What you sow is what you're going to get. Think about this with me. Be careful. What did he say? He said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I want you to hear me tonight. There is those who have crept in unaware. They are, as Daddy wrote the book, they are creepy crawlers in the church. They come in having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Be careful today. Be careful today. If we would really take into consideration what he is saying, if we took to heart that God is not mocked and what it really meant, I'm telling you, it would change us today. It would change us. He's saying, before you sow the seed, be careful what you're sowing. We have a society today, and I want you to stay with me, okay? But we have a society today that just wants to preach love. We have a society today, and we have preachers today that will give the gospel, and hear me and hear me well, that is our ultimate objective. But there is other things in the Word of God. Oh boy, it's getting tight and it's getting quiet. And according to the Word of God, the man of God is to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Can I just say it this way? It's not necessarily what they are saying, it's what they're not saying. It's not necessarily what they are saying, it's what they're not saying. Come out from the world and be you separate. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if you're not careful, you'll listen to just one thing. And you'll begin to sow the wrong seed today. You remember the story in the Old Testament of Uzzah. However you want to say it. When he put his hand, what did he do? Put his hand on that ark when they was moving it, and he touched the glory of God and was killed. Why? Because he's doing the right thing the wrong way. Amen. You better be careful tonight. He gives us a warning. Number one, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I'm going to a blue handheld. Be not deceived. The mic came on. God is not mocked. So he says, be careful tonight. He not only says, be careful tonight. That right there is going to mess me up. Hold on just a minute. He not only says, I'm all tangled up. Everybody just hold. He not only says, boy, I might just get plumb crazy and take my coat off and preach with my coat off tonight. He said, that won't hurt a thing. It'll kill your throat because you'll get cold all of a sudden because you're hot and sweaty and you take that covering off. You see, you got to be real careful what you're hearing from preachers today. He said, be careful. Number two, watch this. Not only be careful, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But can I say this to you tonight? Be clear. Be clear. Be clear. Not just be careful. Man, be clear tonight. Be clear when you're presenting the Word of God. Watch this with me. The Scripture reveals what we should know. Paul is referring to the laws of sowing and reaping. It is not a popular message today, but the Bible contains principles, precepts, and laws which are unbreakable. Here this one is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. The Bible says this. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I may not like that, but I don't get a voice in that. Why? Because it's the law of God. He said that's the way it is. Can I just say that again? I may not like that in the flesh, but I don't have a voice in it. When it comes to the law of sowing and reaping, I may not like everything about it, but the truth of the matter is this, I don't have a voice in it. Oh, are you hearing me preach tonight? Here's three laws of harvest. Watch this. Law number one, you will reap exactly what you sow. Can I say it again? I know I've already hit this a little bit, but you're going to reap exactly what you sow. You're going to, just yesterday or the day before, we walked up in the goat lot, and inside the goat lot, some blueberry bushes with another fence around them that we try to keep the goats out of, but they figure out somehow to get through it every once in a while. And we went in that blueberry, well, let me back up and rephrase that. The girls and Leslie went in that blueberry lot. And you know what they done, Brother Brian? They went to blueberry bushes and they got Vidalia onions off of it. Now, boy, if they did, we're going to be a millionaire. You know what they got? They got exactly what we planted. You see, several years ago, we planted blueberry bushes. And you know what the fruit off of those blueberry bushes are? Blueberries. Down at the house, there's a big bag in the kitchen, and that big bag's got okra in it. Anybody know what okra is? Thank God for okra. Praise God. I love it. Matter of fact, yesterday, me and Olivia and Victoria went out to lunch together at the Saddle Mountain Cafe. Miss Brooke, it's a good place over there at the Saddle Mountain Cafe. And I got fried. Boy, I messed my diet all up yesterday. I'd done good all week, and I thought, I'm going to have a cheat day. So you know what I got, Brother Bailey? I got a country ham steak. Somebody say amen for country ham. I got a country ham steak. I got fried okra. Somebody say thank God and take a lap for fried okra. And somebody talk in tongues on this, and I got French fries. Do you say, gee, eat them all, every one of them, and part of Olivia's and Victoria's too. Do you want me to tell you the reason there's okra in there? Because back in the spring of the year, Brother Roger planted okra. And you know what come up? Okra. Say, preacher, that's simple. I know it's simple. But if you want to know why maybe you're not seeing the spiritual fruit in your life that you want to see, preacher, I just don't feel like God's meeting with me like He used to. What are you sowing? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Hello, Tokyo. I'm preaching good tonight. There is the law, number one. You will reap exactly what you sow. Law number two, watch this. You will reap at a later date than you sow. You will reap at a later date than what you sow. You know what's happening today at Amazing Grace Baptist Church? Stay with me, right? Let me tell you what's happening today. We are reaping some of the seeds that Brother Junior Easter sowed 35 years ago when he started this church. Are you hearing me tonight? Let me tell you the reason why. You always reap at a later date. Law number three. You know what law number three is? Law number three is this. Listen to me. You'll always reap more than you sow. Every time. We live in a society today that says, well, they just need to sow their wild oats. And then we pray for a drought and no harvest from the wild oats. But hear me and hear me well. You put your wild oats in the ground, they're going to come up one day. They're going to come up more than you put in the ground, and they're going to come up at a later date. Our young people today, hear me and hear me well. You better sow the right things. You need to plant the right things. You need to sow the things of God. So at a later date, you don't have regrets in your life, and there's not things coming up in your life at a later date. Amen. If we really sowed the way we should, just think about the blooming of these seeds in our community. What would it mean for the days ahead? What would it mean for the services at Amazing Grace? Are you hearing me tonight? What would it mean? What would it mean? There's be careful, be clear, sow the right things. Sunday school teacher, sow the right things. Nursery workers, sow the right things. Can I just tell you something tonight? That we have a 2- and a 3-year-old class and a 4- and a 5-year-old class. And usually between those two, there's probably 15 to 20 between those two on a Sunday morning. And I want to say something to you tonight if you teach those classes. You are giving those kids a clear presentation of the gospel for the very first time. You say, preacher, what is the most important classes in the church? In my opinion, it's those two classes right there. Let me tell you the reason why. Don't nobody fall out with me right here. But mom and daddy may not be giving them the gospel at home. Mom and daddy may not be, is anybody hearing a preacher? Mom and daddy may not be having Bible study with them at home. Mom and daddy may not be teaching them how to pray at home. So you need to be careful as to what you're teaching them. And you need to be clear as to what you teach them. Why? Because what you're teaching will come up one day. Be careful, be clear. Number three, I'm done. Be consistent. Be consistent. You know what some people's consistency is? Their consistency is, Brother Brian, you never know who you're going to get. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it, Brother Sam? You never know who you're going to get. On Monday afternoon, me and Miss Leslie spent some time with Brother Chris Hazlip. And, man, I love Brother Hazlip. He's one of my dearest friends. And we spent some time with him. And afterwards, me and Leslie were sitting at the house, and she said, you know, she said, Brother Chris is just always the same. He's just always the same. She said, when we first met him, right after we got married and started traveling, matter of fact, the first time I met him, he was supposed to be preaching a meeting, and the meeting he was in broke out, and I went and preached for him, and we ended up talking on the phone, and that's when I met him for the first time. And from then to today, he's not changed one bit. The way he preaches, his style of living, he's stayed the same. He's consistent. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What is he saying? He's saying you need to stay consistent, man. You know what that means? Here's what that means. That 6 months from now, you're still sitting in the same place doing the same thing. Yeah, man. You're still in your place serving God. You say, well, preacher, my classes went down. My kids have moved on. You know what you need to do Sunday morning? You need to be looking around in here and seeing who was it at Sunday school. And you need to be going up to that mom and daddy saying, hey, look, I sure would love for your kids to come to my Sunday school class. You say, well, what if it offends them? They needed to be offended if that offends them. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, that's not mean. It's truth. Man, be consistent. You know what some people's consistency is? You never know if they're going to come. You never know if they're going to be here. There are some people that we go home after Sunday, and me and Miss Leslie says this, I wonder where such and such was at. Why? Because they're normally here, and if they're not, they send a message. And then there's some people we go home on Sunday night, and we never even mention. You say, preacher, that's awful. Well, pray for me. You mean, tell you the reason we never mention them, Miss Shannon? Because they're consistent. They're consistent in not being consistent. Their consistency is, Brother Ted, they may be here and they may not be here. Now, everybody's sitting here, you're a holler, amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean, man? If we're going to reap, we got to be consistent. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall, that is a promise from God, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. So, preacher, we didn't have nobody saved today thus far. What's your plans for next Sunday? Well, something like this. Tomorrow, I'll find myself away from everybody for a little while, and I'll say, Lord, what do you want me to preach Sunday morning? God, Sunday night's covered. Friday night and Saturday morning's covered. But Lord, what you want me to preach on Sunday morning? You say, you don't already know what you're going to preach next Sunday morning? I don't have a clue. I'm not even 100% sure what I'm going to preach on Wednesday night yet. You say, well, you need to be more prepared. Well, please pray for me, okay? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to say, God, you know who's going to be there Sunday morning. You know the loss that'll be there. And God, I pray, oh God in heaven, please show me what to preach Sunday morning. You know what I'm going to do after that? I'm going to take my Bible right there and I'm going to open it up and I'm going to begin reading my Bible. You say, you're not going to go to some book? Yes, it's called the Bible. And I'm going to get a verse on my heart. And I'm going to begin to chew on that verse. And I'm going to begin to digest that word. And I'm going to begin to study that word. And you know what's going to happen next Sunday morning? I'm going to come in here and the choir's going to stand up and sing. We're going to have special songs. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open the Word of God. And I'm going to try my best to magnify Jesus Christ and to lift Him up high. And you know what? If nobody walks the aisle and gets saved, you know what I'm going to do the next Sunday? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Why? Because the increase is not up to me. The grass coming up is not up to me. It's just up to me to sow the seed and allow God to give the increase. Be consistent. Stay with it. Don't give up. Just keep plowing. Amen. Just keep serving. Just keep teaching. Just keep preaching. Just keep praying. Just keep singing. You know what will happen? Sooner or later than sooner, God's going to give the increase. It's right here. He promised it. Miss Tanya's coming to start playing softly. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years and was returning to New York to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They had discovered that they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of the big game hunting expeditions. No one paid any attention to them. They watched the fanfare. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president entourage with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these many years and have no one to care a thing about us?" Here this man came back from a hunting trip, and everybody makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us. The wife replied, "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way. I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you just go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out of the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. And his wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" He replied, "The Lord settled it with me. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and said simply this, 'But you're not home yet.'" You missed it. "But you're not home yet. But you're not home yet." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this: be consistent till you get home. This world is not our home. This is not my hope. Amen. The applause of people of this world is not my main goal. Thank God. There's a day coming where either by the way of the grave or the way of the rapture of the church, I'm leaving out of here. I'm just an ambassador of a foreign country. And when I get to the other side, thank God, there'll be he who gave himself for us, and then we'll be home. But until then, you know what you need to do? You just need to stay with it. Be clear. Amen. Be clear. Amen. Be clear. Be careful. Make sure you're sowing the right seed. Man, be careful. But be consistent. Be consistent. I'm going to give you a carnal illustration in closing. Many of you know, or practically all of you know, that one of my pastimes is exercising. I just enjoy it. And you say, well, you're crazy. Well, okay. It's just what I like to do. I enjoy it. Several weeks ago, one of my goals was to climb Orchard Gap Mountain on a bicycle. In 3 miles, you ride close to 1,500 feet of elevation in 3 miles. That morning, we struck out early. Me and Brother Mark and Brother Caleb was with us. You ride 10 miles before you get to the base of the mountain, and then you got a 3-mile climb going up the mountain. We started up that mountain, and man, I'm telling you, about halfway up it, Brother Mark, I was thinking, you're an idiot. What was you thinking? And then I thought, I can't stop now. I'm a mile and a half in. I'm halfway there. So I just kept pedaling, and I switched the screen on my Garmin where I couldn't see how far I'd went. All I could see was my heartbeat. And I thought, as long as I see something on there, I'm okay. My heart's still beating. And I thought, I need to keep my heart rate around 165 or 170, and I'll be all right. And I rode on, 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 and I thought, it ain't never going to come to an end. I think I'm just going to turn around, and it'll be a whole lot quicker going back down this mountain than it was coming up. And I reached up on the top of my shifter, and I hit a button, and it switched the screen on my Garmin. And when it switched it, it went to a map. It went to the GPS. And when I looked on that, it was zoomed way in, and I took my hand, and I pinched the screen just like on a phone, and I zoomed it out just a little bit, Brother Elijah. And whenever I did, I saw that there was one turn left. And when I got around that turn, it looked like I was going to be at the top of the mountain. You say, well, what did you do? I thought about turning around and going back down the hill. And I thought, man, I've come too far now. Are you hearing me? I can see, practically see, the finish line. So you know what I'd done? I just kept pedaling. And it wasn't but just about 3 hours, it seemed like I turned that curve. That was the longest curve I've ever turned in my life. And whenever you turn it, Brother Caleb, you know this, you come up that little stretch. As I came up and I looked, and there was everybody I was riding with. And they were standing there waiting on me. Boy, I felt good. I rode past them about 20 yards and then turned around and came back and fell over. But as I turned the corner, I realized I had made it. Can I just tell you something? It gets weary every once in a while. But I looked in the GPS. And I looked at the map. And it said something like this. When you see these things come to pass, lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. And you know what? I believe that we're so close to getting home. If we could really see with a spiritual eye, we might just see that crowd that has went ahead of us and that's outrun us, and they might be saying something like this, you can't quit now, man. You're too close to turn back now. Man, you can't give in now. You can't throw in the towel now. You want me to tell you what I think I'll do? I think tonight I'll go home. I'll give me something to eat. And tomorrow morning I'll get up. I'll get in the prayer closet and I'll pray a little while. And I'll read the Bible a little while. And I'll pray God open the door for me to tell somebody about you. I think I'll come in Wednesday night and just preach another message. I think I'll come back Friday night and moderate another service, and again Saturday, and preach again Sunday, man. Go on, go on, go on. Be consistent. We're too close home, church. Man, y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate tonight. We're too close home to quit now. Hey, we're too close home to turn around now. Brother Elijah, we've come too far to throw in the towel now. There's a crowd.
Wherefore, I'm trying to hush. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a crowd waiting on us. They've already outrun us, man. May we stay with it in these days, Father.